Hello, patrons.
Hi.
How
you doing? Are you well?
Yeah.
How you doing? You can move that mouse over there.
Tidying up the frame.
Get that out of the way. Welcome back to After Dark, the additional bonus Patreon exclusive podcast where we answer questions about boners, and they're all in this hat. We've got loads of boner questions in here from you. We pick them out at random.
There definitely might be a boner question.
There's almost certainly a boner question in there. And we're going to answer a few of them over the next 40 or so minutes. So thank you for supporting us on Patreon. And thank you for asking these questions. Don't worry, guys. I can sense your concern.
Really. You just carry on talking. I didn't have a chance to ask you.
We're
going to
start recording now. Not what? Answering questions now.
Are you all right?
No, I'm not all right. I'm doing bad.
Need some eggs at lunch.
Stephen Norrie says, would you ever get a lift in your house, assuming you do get to own a house with an upstairs? I see adverts for lifts for old people. I watch a lot of daytime TV. And as an alternative to stair lifts, they just look like weird vertical coffins in a tiny tube in their living rooms, and I can't think of anything worse.
I've
Stephen.
Never seen an advert for a lift. Yeah,
I've only ever seen lifts in like rich people's houses where they've got like six floors, and
six floors.
I was basically the other day, I kind of like switched onto terrestrial TV when I was staying with Owen and Emily, and one of the shows was Britain's Most Expensive Houses, and there was this big massive house in London, and it was six floors and had a basement and then five floors, and that had a lift in it because they were like, who wants to walk up five flights of stairs? And
I was
like,
who wants to live in a house?
Don't have a five-story house.
Who wants to live in a six-story house?
That's insane. I lived in a house with six stories, I probably would want a lift in it. But I also wouldn't live in that house.
No, why would you need that much space?
I don't think I would ever get a lift in my house. Even if it got to the point where I needed one, as in I couldn't climb the stairs, I would either, you know, perhaps look at moving into a bungalow, or I would probably just get like a stair lift, you know, like rather than have a whole lift put in my house. Just seems like a lot.
Mm. Yeah, I just go to
clear out a lot of space.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The moment that you, well, you moment you're like 45,
you break your leg.
The moment I struggle to climb the stairs, right to Geneva, just.
Yeah. But I sometimes struggle to climb the stairs because I get tired. But only because I'm just hate stairs.
I don't have any stairs in my flat, so.
Well, no, but you don't have. Do you ever walk up the stairs to your house?
Only when someone else is in the lift.
I'll be having stairs in my new house, but if I was to put a lift in there, that would probably take up about 25% of the house. Mm. So there's no room for one. It'd have to be built on the outside or something.
The issue I have with stairs is that I think I hold my breath when I walk upstairs. So I get to the top and I'm like, oh, what's wrong? Why am I so tired? But then I realized when I was living in my flat that I kept holding my breath. Like,
why?
I would like start like basically as quick as I could go up the stairs. And then I was like realizing as I got to the top, I was going, I was like, why was I just holding my breath?
You don't want other people, because I do this sometimes when I'm walking up hills and stuff. I don't want to really puff and pant because I'm sort of putting on a show. You know, I don't want passers-by to realize that, wow, this hill, hill sucks.
Yeah, so you just know? Hold your breath.
So you're sort of like,
maybe.
You're sort of like suppressing it. And then when you get to the top, you're like,
Yeah, I proper sprint up the stairs in my house at the moment. And I'm like, make sure you breathe.
You run up the stairs here as well, though. Like sometimes, like I'm in front of you on the stairs, and you're like, overtake me.
That's just gone. Did you have a traumatic experience on a flight of stairs once? So you have to run up them.
No.
Did the monster get you once?
No, I once got stuck in a lift, and I didn't go in lifts for like 10 years.
Wow.
The most scared I've ever been on some stairs is when we were at the Eiffel Tower, and for some reason my dad was like, "We're gonna walk down the stairs," and we're walking down the stairs to the top of the Eiffel Tower, and I thought I was going to die. I was like holding on to the side, and I was like, "No! I don't wanna." That's bad. Don't do that unless you like wanna. The thrill ride or something, because that is scary. I mean, the lift at the Eiffel Tower is scary enough.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's most scared I've ever been on some stairs. That wasn't the question, but...
when is the most scared you have been on some stairs?
Yeah.
Right, here we go.
This one comes from Marley. Hey, Bap.
Hey.
What's an extreme sport that you would like to try or be good at?
That flipping wingsuit stuff.
Oh,
imagine being able to fly, just sort of soar,
just
like
not
a graceful
be scared
squirrel.
To jump off a cliff.
Can you imagine? That would be really so cool.
I would like to go snowboarding or skiing, but I'm too scared. I broke my leg on flat ground. Like, I don't feel like I should...
Slippy ground as well.
Slippy ground. Mm. I don't think I could be trusted with, like, going down a hill at quite decent speeds on a bit of wood. Like, yeah. That seems dangerous.
I do like skiing, but I've not been
in years.
I've never done it either.
I'm intrigued by it, but I would have to go with people that, like, would teach me how to do it. Mm. Slash, like, I would have to be... I would go with someone else who knew what they were doing, because I don't think I could just go. I don't want to be the idiot. I'm too old now. It's one of those things where it's like, I'm too old to do something because I will be bad at it, and I'm too old to be bad at something. I feel like going skiing is one of those things where I was like, I don't want to be the idiot grown woman that's like falling ass over tit
crashing
constantly, like crashing into people, like just covered
it's
in
never
snow.
Never too late to follow your dreams.
It's true, but I'm too scared.
And you can generally, like, unless you go to... Well, yeah, I think most sort of ski resorts you go to, there are areas that are very...
For babies.
Yeah, for babies and new people. They grade the runs by colour. You have, like, green runs and blue runs, and they're, like...
What dominoes were you having?
Yeah.
Fucking hell. It's a poo joke there, everyone.
Yeah, it's a good poo joke.
That was a good poo joke.
I quite like...
blue runs.
Climbing.
Yeah.
When I've done, you know, when you go to like a village fete and they have one of those climbing walls or something, or rock climbing as well. I've like, I used to climb trees a lot when I was a kid. And it was almost like people would almost expect me, if we were like on a walk or something, we went past like a good tree.
Mm.
People would be like, oh, Peter will be up that in a moment sort of thing. Like that was my thing.
Yeah.
And now I'm too old to do that.
You're
I mean,
not
I'm
too
not.
Old to climb a tree.
I don't mean I'm not saying that I'm only children are allowed to climb trees. I think like grown-ups are allowed. And also, I'm not saying I'm too physically old to climb a tree, because that's ridiculous. I'm only 30. I should be able to climb a tree. But I feel too physically old to climb a tree.
Do you ever walk past a good tree and go...
Yeah, I do. I honestly do.
Yeah.
I'd be like...
Just climb the next one you see.
There was a time I would be... on that tree.
Right.
You should do it.
Is this why you go to the National Trust site?
Yeah.
Just look at trees and think,
I could have climbed that.
Next time you go to a next time you see a good tree, you should just climb it.
You want
it.
Me to climb it?
Yeah.
I think I'm more sensible might not be the right word. I'm more cautious now than, you know, as a child, you think you're invincible.
Mm.
And now if I see a tree and I'm like, I could climb that, I think I could, but what if I fell out of it? And as a child, I never thought that. It never worried me at all. But now I'm like, if I fell out of that and like, broke my arms, I wouldn't be able to work or whatever, you know?
I can honestly say that I don't think at any point in my life I ever thought myself to be invincible. People often say that phrase, like, when you're a child, you think you're invincible, like, nothing can hurt you.
I mean,
I've
relatively.
I've always been terrified of getting hurt by pretty much everything.
I get hurt all the time.
I never thought I was, like, invincible, but yeah, I didn't, I wasn't terrified of falling out of trees.
Right.
When I fell out of a first-story window and survived, I was like, hey, I might be a superhero. And then I fell off a climbing frame at school and broke my arm. And I was like, hey, I'm not invincible. I hurt myself.
See, I've never broken a bone. So maybe that's why,
I've broken so many
as a child,
bones.
I thought I might be semi-invincible.
I always thought that everyone had broken bones, but most people haven't. And that makes me confused because I've broken three.
I've fractured my finger and I've had dislocations, but that's actual like proper snappy bones.
Mm-hmm. I broke my finger,
yeah.
I broke my arm, and I broke both bones in my lower leg.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
What's next?
Head.
Maybe.
I broke my head bone. No, next important one. You can't break that one.
Pelvis? Rib?
Hmm?
Pelvis. Oh, that would be brutal. Foot? Yeah.
Tailbone.
Oh,
you won't be able to sit down.
No.
Did you say that people apparently sometimes break their like their little toe and don't even know?
Because
your foot essentially.
I think I broke my little toe.
It's just cartilage, really. It's just this unnecessary.
I went to the hospital because I thought I broke my little toe, and they said that they really couldn't tell and there was nothing they could do anyway.
No.
So they just told me to ice it. My mum, one time, and I slept through this whole thing. It was like a Sunday morning and she was walking into the living room and the sofa had moved slightly and she hit her foot on the sofa and her little toe was like sideways. And then my dad like pulled it and popped it back into place and took her to the hospital and she'd like basically just smashed her toe up. And I didn't wake up until they got back from the hospital. Like, I was asleep through this whole thing, through mum screaming, like she was in a lot of pain. And I woke up and I was like, my sister was like, where's mum and dad? And she's like, they've gone to the hospital. Did you not hear any of that? And I was like, no, what's happened? And they told me. I didn't see it. I probably would have passed out if I'd have seen it. But
that's
apparently
gross.
It was disgusting.
That is horrible.
So.
Marlee
No, we've just had Marley.
Have we?
That's fine.
No, come back in. Sorry, Mark. If you come back, you can come back later. But we can't do two in a row. It's not allowed. That's several questions.
Marley's pretty consistent with asking questions, so there's quite a lot from them.
Omar Zambon. Hi, Bap. What would you say is the weirdest thing you've done in your life so far? Cheers and keep up the good work. I feel like we've had a weirdest thing, but for work. And to be honest, weirdest things for work probably at least matches weirdest things in my life.
Weirdest things, yeah.
Yeah.
Which I'm not really sure. Weirdest thing in my life.
I mean, as is sometimes, not always the case, but sometimes the case with After Dark, mine would probably be a story I've told more than once on Podiats, which is when I watched Brain Surgery. Just standing there and knowing that, like, I'm looking at a person's brain who is alive and asleep on that table.
Why were you watching Brain Surgery?
I shadowed a brain surgeon.
He climbed a really big tree that was next to the hospital and he just hopped in.
I shadowed a brain surgeon when I was like 16 or 17. Apparently, I should have been 18, and they just sort of pretended that I was 18.
that person could have died on that table because you were underage. You know,
or you could have watched someone die.
Yeah, as a 17-year-old. Anyway. Everyone was like consenting of it. I was like, yeah, I'll say I'm 18. And, you know, like my parents knew and the surgeon knew. But it's not that bad. Just I was only watching. I wasn't involved. I had to tape someone's eyes down before they went into surgery. I was in the side room with the anaesthetist and they were like, do you want to like put tape on their eyes? I was like, okay. Yeah.
Wow.
So I did that. But. Well, if you don't listen to Poddy, it's Ashton. I'll very, very quickly tell the story that Ben's heard at least twice. I was watching Brain Surgery, and there are all these med students in there and, like, surgeons and nurses and stuff. And so lying on the table in front of me is someone with a piece of their skull removed, and I can just see their brain, like in Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, that looks a bit weird. It almost looks, but surely everyone would know. I'm not going to say anything because I'll sound stupid. And then the surgeon, like, who must have been like looking over at his tools or something, like looked back at the brain and was like, "Flip, what is this?" And there was a big fly on the person's brain that had been in the theatre that no one had noticed, and then it had like landed on the brain. And I've been standing there thinking, looks like there's a fly on her brain, but no one else is saying. There's a fly on the brain, and there's all these med students, and I'm like, I'm not going to say, excuse me, is there a fly on the brain? And they might say, no, that's the fly node, you idiot. It looks like a fly. So I just was quiet, and then the surgeon's like, oh my God. So he had to like call a more experienced surgeon and be like, what the hell do I do? And they were like, so all the way through the surgery, they had this like wash bottle with a stem on it that had a little, like, I guess, sort of antiseptic stuff in it, and they were occasionally just like squirting down the wound, and so he was like on the phone to the surgeon. He was like, yeah, okay, and he like put the phone down, and then he like twisted the top off and just went like that and they poured it all over.
Oh my god,
that's one of the weirdest things I've done or seen, is a fly on a living human brain.
Do you ever think like how it, like, you, when you're unconscious, like, you don't know what's been going on? Like, I have no idea what happened when they put me on ketamine and straightened my leg out.
Yeah,
I was just seeing all kinds of colors and weird things, and then like I just thought, I'm completely unaware of what's going on right now. There could have been a fly on my brain. Like, what could have happened there?
Yeah,
ketamine was pretty fucking weird. That was a weird experience.
Yeah,
I don't think I knew you'd been on ketamine.
Medical grade ketamine.
So they, like, basically, when I broke my leg, I was like holding my leg like up here, and I wouldn't let anyone straighten it because I'd broken it here and down there.
Yeah,
and I was holding it the whole time. The only time I didn't was when I passed out and pissed myself.
Oh no!
and they took me around to x-ray, and I wouldn't let them straighten it, and I was proper crying because I was in so much pain. And they were like, right, we're gonna have to straighten her leg. So they took me back round, and they were like, we're taking you over to the ICU
for horse tranquilizers.
We're gonna give you some ketamine and we're gonna straighten your leg.
Did you go to effects accidentally?
I don't think so. And they wheeled me over to the ICU, gave me ketamine. This whole thing's really blurry because I was in and out of consciousness this whole time, but they put me on ketamine. While I was on ketamine, I had been working at an esports shoot, and a bunch of the camera guys in my mind were like walking past, and I was like, what the fuck are you guys doing here? And they were just like walking.
In hospital and you're just seeing the camera guys.
Well, it was like a kaleidoscope thing, you know, when it changes like patterns and colors. Mm-hmm. That's what was happening, but they were just like walking past the whole time. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? And then I woke up and I kept begging the nurse for water. I was like, please, can I have some water? And she was like, no. And I was like, please. And there was like a guy next to me on like a ventilator. And then there was like a guy, it was like a heart thing. It was happening like two things down. And I was like, please, can I just have some water? And she wouldn't give it to me. But ketamine was pretty fucking weird. Mm. I can't even explain. It was just so many colors.
Oh, yeah, we can swear here.
And then, yeah. And then I said to my boyfriend afterwards, I was like, there were so many colors. And he was like, right. Okay. And then they gave me a ham sandwich and I was really happy.
Best ham sandwich of your life. Oh,
they cut my jeans off me. They asked me. So they'd, one, I'd pissed myself. So they had pee on them. And two, they'd cut them all the way up to my thigh rather than like just taking them off me. So my left leg had a jean on and my right leg had shorts. And they were like, do you want to keep them? And I was like, no,
no,
I'm
cut
good.
Them.
There's a big old bit missing.
And I've pissed
and
them.
And I've pissed them. So, no, just bin them. And then they took them off me and I said, I'm really sorry, I met myself. And they were like, it's okay, it happens all the time. Aww. That was a really nice ward. And then they moved me to the horrible ward. And I was like, no, give me my ham sandwich back. Hmm. So, yeah, that was pretty weird. Any weird medical stories?
I mean, I have a couple. We've spoken about this before, I think, but when I was going in for surgery, that was my only adult experience of being put under. Mm-hmm. And that's really weird.
Yeah.
They make you count down from 10 and you just get to 6 and you're in, you just sort of warm pins and needles just through your body and you just, just the Windows XP shutdown noise. You're just gone.
I was told to count down from 20 and I got to like 18. It must have been working really quick on me.
Yeah.
And I was saying 18 and then I was like trying to get to 17 and I was, because I couldn't get there, I sort of said 18 again. I was like, I'll start again. And I was like apologizing to them because I couldn't do it. I was like 19, 18, 18, sorry. Sorry, 18.
I could feel it go into my system.
Yeah, it's like going up your arm.
When I had my appendix really out, I kept talking to the doctor and he was like, can you count? And I was like, but I was telling you a story. And he was like, no, just count down. And I was like, okay. And then I counted 20, 19. And I was like, so, and then? And he was like, no. And then he was like, count. So I was like, fine, 20. And then I was out.
Second weirdest thing is I worked in a cake factory for a bit. That was pretty cool.
A cake factory?
Cake factory?
Yeah. You never told me that.
Mm. Yeah, I did for a little bit. It was work experience. So I was there for a week.
Right.
I worked at a cake factory. It was excellent. Like, there were so many cakes because everyone who works there fucking hates cakes because they can't stand cakes. And it was called the Handmade Cake Company. Handmade Cake Company. I don't know if they're still going. But they had to, for quality control, they had to take one cake out of each batch of whatever it was they were making, then take one slice out of it, and then someone has to take a bite out of it just to make sure that it's fine. So in their staff room, like stacked from floor to ceiling, there's all these cakes with one slice taken out of it.
Wow.
So I was just going home every day with like trays of millionaire shortbread.
Wow.
Nice.
And it was incredible. And then the PS3 came out on Friday. So it was the best week ever.
Best fucking week ever.
Best week ever.
Someone, I don't want to say too much. Someone in my extended family is on his work experience. He's at school and he is working in a sweet shop.
Whoa.
Sick.
Imagine the
it's
bragging
like
rights.
Something from Just William or
Roald Dahl.
Roald Dahl, yeah.
Cameron Keywood says, have we just had Cameron Keywood?
No. Omar.
Halo Bap, what movie completely changes its plot when you change one letter in its title? What's the new movie about?
A shark sale.
Yeah. I like how
what?
A shark tale was the
a
first.
A shark sale.
And what's the new plot about?
It's about an auction.
Selling,
selling off sharks to selling drug off. Lords somewhere.
Yeah.
Who can afford sharks?
Mm-hmm. Cat Park. It's just like Jurassic Park, but it's just cats. It's
one
actually
letter.
Just a really
one
nice.
Letter.
Oh, I thought you said one word.
No.
Oh, then I fucking don't know.
Cat Park.
Cat Park.
I got confused.
Did you guess? How the fuck did you do that?
So I was...
It's also a shark movie.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking of Jaws.
Can get onto land now.
It's just a cat.
It's a cat. Yeah, instead of Jaws, it's just called Cat.
I didn't know that word. Oh, I don't fucking know. I can't think of any movie all of a sudden. I've lost all movies.
Yeah.
Boy Story. It's just about a boy now.
Yeah, like, Boy Story. That's
about Andy.
It's just Andy. It's just like, he's just toys are normal and he's just a story about Andy.
Tot Story. It's about his little sister.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That works.
Tot Story 2.
Yeah.
Lars instead of Cars. And yeah. It's about that guy from Metallica. Mm-hmm. Lars Ulrichsson or whatever he's called.
Yeah.
Ulrich. Mm-hmm. Can't remember what his name is. Cool. Well, all
we
right.
were good at that.
We did it.
Next question. David Lever asks, if you could choose any hat from history or fiction and never the twain shall meet to pull the questions out of, which hat would you choose? I choose a hat that shot JFK.
What?
Huh?
I'd choose the hat that shot JFK.
Lee Harvey Oswald. Was he a hat?
Did he have a hat?
I don't know. David, I don't get the joke.
I'd choose the hat that shot JFK.
That's what that says.
Well, how would you choose? I'd choose the hat that shot JFK. Any hat from...
David, what are you talking about?
Is that some sort of conspiracy theory that David, a hat did it?
I don't know.
It was David, in the grassy knoll.
What's going on?
I mean, Abraham Lincoln's hat's pretty good, isn't it?
That's yeah, that would that would work.
Think how many questions you could get in it.
Oh, so many.
Great.
Yeah, that would be good. I'm tempted to
and
choose like a...
And it was sturdy as well. You could just turn it all the way upside down.
Yeah, it would stand on its own. That's what I was thinking, actually. That, and our hat obviously doesn't stand upside down on its own. But it would be very cool to have like a helmet of some kind, like armor. But that would also just be very loud and heavy and would have to lay on its side.
What about the furry ones that they wear outside Buckingham Palace?
The furry ones?
Furry ones.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
That could work.
That'd be good.
That would be good.
Maybe the crown jewels. Just the actual crown.
The actual crown.
One of the most expensive hats in the world.
It's a very
expensive
hat.
It wouldn't sit very
hat.
Well upside down though, because it's got that bit that sticks out the top.
Yeah.
The Pope's hat.
The Pope's hat. That's a good one. I personally would choose the hat that shot JFK.
Yeah,
sure you would.
I would choose the hat that shot that hat that shot JFK. You know, Jack Ruby.
Yeah.
What? He was a hat.
Who?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
What's happening? I'm so... Am I on ketamine?
So many colours.
So many colours.
I don't understand. Chris Law. Hey, TTJ. Can you do your best to explain American football? Thanks. Claw.
So American football... is where you have a bunch of guys in helmets and stuff, and they go, huh, huh, and then one of them throws the ball back to someone else, and then they have to try and run it to the end, like in rugby.
But they can throw it down.
But they can throw it, and they I don't think they're allowed to kick it. Yeah, they can kick it.
They can kick it, yeah.
Can you kick it? And then eventually they, like, win sections. Like, they move up, and if they've moved a certain point, they've, like, won that bit of the thing, I think. And there's something like the, probably like in football, where it's like the 20-yard line or some shit. Yeah. But I don't think they have a goal like in rugby, like where you can kick it in through the middle. Or do they have that?
Yeah, they do have that. You can kick a field goal, I think.
A field goal? Oh.
I think so. I mean, I've played a lot of American football
and
games.
There's quarterbacks. Yeah.
For
there?
About 15 minutes apiece.
There's
and
hookers
I've never
as well.
Understood.
I think. Aren't there hookers? Hookers? Or are they in rugby?
That's rugby. Rugby's hookers. There might be. I don't think that's a position.
Hmm. Well, there might be hookers, but they're probably not on the pitch.
Yeah. I don't. I've never watched American football. I don't know what's going on there. I know that there are adverts all the time and that play stops constantly.
Yeah.
That's a stereotype about American football. I'm aware of.
And they have like marching bands and jet flyovers and
stuff. I find that
even for like college level football.
Yeah, I find that all a bit sort of
a
bit cringe.
And the big like final is called the Super Bowl, and Rihanna's performing at it this year.
Yeah,
wow, that's good. And everyone watches it for the show in the middle, not
for the adverts.
Not actually the sport itself.
But yeah, and the ball's like almost rugby ball shape. But
yeah, they don't use a football. They use a rugby ball.
And then they also like they all have to wear like helmets and padding.
Yeah.
But they still get brain damage, even though rugby players like literally headbutt each other without any thing.
Still a problem in rugby, but not quite as prevalent as in American football.
Worse in boxing, but
just a bit.
Bit worse.
Yeah. Pretty bad in wrestling as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's all good. Anyway, I hope that helps.
That's
Chris.
American football.
You're fluent now. Have fun at your Super Bowl party.
Dan McDonald, heir to the
farm.
The Ronald Fortune.
To the farm.
EIEIO.
As I prepare to attend my 10 millionth post-COVID wedding in a few weeks.
Wow.
I've realised that the couples are incredibly selfish and the person actually doing the marrying never seems to stand out. I would like this to change. So if you could choose one famous person, dead or alive, to officiate your wedding, who would you want? Mm.
The guy at Peter's wedding stood out.
Yeah, he did.
He stood out to me a lot.
Yeah.
I remember a lot of what he did.
A lot of people talked about him afterwards. He stood out to a lot of people.
Yeah,
but seemed to have been slightly divisive. Most people said, "Oh, wasn't he great?" You know, he was like, he's quite sort of well spoken, and he was like, kind of really up for. You know, it's kind of he took the serious bit seriously, and then he had a bit of fun. And then like a couple of people sort of, no one said like he was rubbish, but some people said, "Oh yeah, interesting choice of vicar, wasn't it?" Like directly to us, and then we were like, "Oh, we just thought he was." He's a bit wacky, bit of a fun guy, but...
I thought it was a bit strange when he got out that, like, big water gun and started shooting people in the back row.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was really weird.
And it wasn't actually water, it was communion wine.
It was communion wine. But then, like, he aimed it right at Peter's crotch and he shot, like, he got, like, three full pumps into Peter's crotch and he went, look at little pissy Peter getting married. Ooh, it's pissy. Go for it, do a lap, pissy Peter, is what he said.
Otherwise, I'm not marrying you.
Yeah. And everyone was like, so half the audience were like, this guy is brilliant.
Yeah.
And the other half thought,
interesting choice of vicar.
Mm. And the dance routine that he did was really good as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was very good at it. Fortnite. He knew all the Fortnite dances.
He did.
Yeah. And he knew how to Douglas.
He kept asking me where he could get drugs, though.
Right.
I didn't know how to tell you that. Like,
they'd run out. He normally knows
where to get before the service.
He kept like trying to backhand smuggle me like bread, and I was like,
"Please." He's just going.
He did refer to you as a duck several times.
Yeah.
Maybe he just thought you were hungry.
And he kept just periodically just tossing bits of bread at me, and I was just, "Hello."
Please don't throw bread at me. Please stop throwing bread at me.
But apart from that, I don't know why people were.
Yeah,
Peter's sort of confused by that choice.
Really stuck out.
I don't think I'd want someone famous because my wedding's about me.
Them, yeah, it shouldn't be. This is an interesting question. Why aren't people focusing more on the officiant than the couple?
I think Stephen Fry would be a nice one.
Someone
with a nice voice who's sort of very soothing and would be your friend for the sort of half an hour service or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he wouldn't come to the party afterwards because he'd be too famous.
He famously can't say the phrase, pocketed it.
Can he not? Is that the Harry Potter?
In Harry Potter, there's a phrase. I think it was in the first book or the second one.
Pocketed it.
And he was recording did you know about this, Ashton?
No.
He was recording, you know, he did the audiobooks for it. And he was in the session, he was like recording, and he kept trying to say, Harry pocketed it. And he was going, Harry pocketed it, and he just couldn't do it. So then he went on a break, and he rang J.K. Rowling, and he said, would you mind? He said, like, I've done everything else is word for word from the book. Would you mind if I changed it to Harry put it in his pocket? And she went, no, you can't change it. And then apparently for every subsequent book after that, she always put in the phrase, pocketed it.
Just to be a bitch.
Just to be, yeah. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Stephen Fry.
That is a good one.
I'd go Big Steve.
Maybe like Greg Davies, because then he'd be funny as well. And everyone would be able to see him because he's so tall. So even if you're sat at the back, you could still see him. I'd probably want a comedian to do it because they could be like, obviously do the serious bit and then take the piss a bit. That'd be fun. But I don't want to be too famous because I want everyone to be looking at me. I don't want everyone to be looking at them. It's my day. I'm wearing a pretty dress. Look at me.
No one looked at me in my pretty dress.
It's because you were covered in water. Yeah. Pissy pants Peter.
Pissy pants Peter.
Pitty dress Peter.
Yeah.
I would choose Jack the Ripper just to find out who he was. Forget the wedding.
Wow.
I'd just be like looking,
going, the Zodiac killer.
His entire relationship.
Yeah, she's the Zodiac killer. I'd choose the hat that shot JFK just to work out whether there was actually a conspiracy.
Yeah, what that is. Brilliant. Oh, is it? Is it my go?
That was me, yes. It's your turn.
I want this one.
I want doesn't get.
John O'Parkin. Hey, Bap, what's your favourite fairy tale?
You can't say that anymore. It's a linear tale.
Linear tale.
I was like, huh? What?
Favourite fairy tale. I probably had a definitive favourite fairy tale as a child, mm-hmm. and now they're just all on a par, really.
Yeah. I had a book about Greek myths.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And I would read that a lot. You know, your Argonauts.
They're a bit more exciting.
Your Hercules and yeah. your Zeus's and so on. Mm. Like, I remember fondly having a book with illustrations that I would read a lot. Can't really say the same for fairy tales because I think by the time we were all growing up, they were largely adapted into popular motion pictures.
Yeah.
So then it just becomes which Disney movie do you like?
I had a book when I was younger where it was like a Disney thing and it was meant to be like set after the movie and it had my name in it. So like Belle was talking to me. She'd say, Ashton, what are we going to do? And I was like, oh my God! I'm a character in this book. And then my mom told me a few years later when I was a bit more, like a couple years old, she's like, you know that we bought that. That's not just how the book comes. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like,
wait, how old were you when you realized this?
Well, I got it when I was like 5.
Yeah.
And then mom told me probably when I was like 7 or 8.
Oh, okay.
She was like, you know that. I was like, when does this character come back? And she's like, it's not. She's not going
to
be there.
Is she going to be in the straight to video movie?
Yeah.
Where's Ashton? Yeah, I had a Batman one where me and Batman solved the mystery of who stole the Cat 2000.
Yeah.
Have a guess who stole the Cat 2000 toy from Gotham Toy
Joker?
Shop. It wasn't, no.
Oh.
It's about cats.
What? Oh.
And it was stolen.
Catwoman.
Catwoman did it.
I don't know.
It could have been Joker.
Could have been the
That's
Joker.
That's the other obvious choice.
Catwoman's not always a baddie, though.
The cat toy.
Stolen.
I get confused because there's Black Cat in Marvel and then there's Catwoman in DC. Mm.
And there's Cat Park as well.
Yeah, there is.
Shut up. Fuck off.
What was the question?
What's your favourite fairy tale?
Tale?
I think Snow White's a pretty good one. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
All of her problems were solved by a man kissing her.
Yeah.
She's pretty happy with those dwarfs, though, to be fair.
It's our turn.
Well,
Come on.
She gets knocked out, doesn't she? And then he kisses her while she's asleep. That is a bit weird.
Same with
Sleeping Beauty. That's definitely a weird one.
Yeah. We had a Ladybird book of the Gingerbread Man, and the Gingerbread Man looked delicious.
Enough to fish out of a bin after a night out.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Lovely. In terms of an adaptation of a fairy tale, I think Tangled is excellent.
Rapunzel is a good fairy tale, to be fair. I think actually Rapunzel was my favourite one. I used to really like the Barbie and Rapunzel movie. That was really good.
I had Barbie and Swan Lake. That was one of my sisters used to watch a lot.
That was a good one.
Apparently
too.
They're all coming to Netflix, those Barbie movies.
Oh.
Are they really?
I think so.
Oh my God. That's just made my day.
I'm fairly sure.
The Princess and the Pauper. That was a good one.
Is that a Barbie one?
I'm just like you. You're just like me.
Well, they're making the Barbie movie, aren't they, with Margot Robbie?
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
I tell you what story I liked as a kid. I really liked Jack and the Beanstalk.
That is a good one, too.
That was a pretty good one.
Movies?
No, just the story.
Oh, just the story. Yeah, okay. Gotcha. Fee, Fi, Fe, Fum.
Yeah.
Look at all those ones on Netflix.
Oh, my God.
What are they? They're on there now already.
No, they're not any of the original ones, like the Rapunzel one.
Was it like weird CG?
Mm.
Yeah, I had a Hot Wheels like feature length thing that was CG. It was quite good.
Barbie, yeah. Ashton's just gonna look at Barbie movies on my phone now.
Is Race and Ride on there? Explorer.
Race and Rides, yeah, it's a classic Barbie game.
Press the X button.
Button. It says that there should be on there now from August 16th. But
America?
Oh, it might just be America. So much stuff is only...
That's another Chris Law.
That's really upset me. My day went from so good to so bad so quickly.
Get some repeat names now.
Yeah.
Which is fine. But also, I'm going to try and find one that we haven't done so far. Here we go. That's a new one. For today. Ian Jasper.
Two first names. Yeah.
Who's written a small essay. Here we go.
Okay.
Here, again, Bap. When I was 11 in 1976, I bought the ABBA's Greatest Hits album, $2.99 from WH Smith's, which was all of my pocket money, and my mum said she expected that I'd probably only like them for about 6 months. Imagine my smugness when I pointed out I'd just bought their new LP 46 years later. Is there anything you were expected to grow out of when you grew up that you still love? Kisses, as always, Ian.
Thanks, well, Ian,
you know what we do for a living, right? Well, I think we were probably, there's no career in video games. Mm. No career talking about video games, certainly. Career making them, maybe, but that still sounds like maybe you're wasting your time. You know, don't do that. Go into a proper trade, profession. I say video games is the big one for me. Maybe Pokemon.
You're going to have to tell me the question again, because I was just so surprised that we have a listener who was born in 1965.
76.
No, when they were 11, sorry, I was like, and then I was doing the maths in my head while you were reading the question. I was like, what? But so was it like being told something?
To go out of, but you haven't.
Right, yeah.
Video games, Pokemon probably. Not that I have a lot of nostalgic Pokemon love, but I still play the original games. I don't watch the current animes or and such. But those would probably be my ones.
I think my parents would expect me to grow out of telling stories/making up plays when I was a kid, and I did a drama degree, and I still tell myself stories all the time.
And you wrote fan fiction.
And I wrote fan fiction, and I tell myself bedtime stories at night time.
Oh, that's
nice. When
are
you going to write some fan fiction about Triple Jump?
That's a bit weird.
Why?
Because in your fan fiction, everyone gets off with everyone else.
No. Oh, okay. Well, no.
Well,
Peter drank a whole bottle of whiskey.
Normally, like one person gets off with like one other person.
Right. So there is a romantic element.
Yeah, there's always
you
like
can just write
a ship,
a platonic story
about an adventure
that the Triple Jump gang get up to.
Do you want me to write some? I can write some nice fan fiction.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you can bring it along to a podcast or do a video on it or do a stream on it.
Okay, I will. Maybe I'll do a stream where we all write fan fiction together, in me and chat. But I haven't grown out of that. What's the question?
What did you grow out of? That.
No,
what did you not grow out of? Yeah.
Barbie movies. My parents used to get so annoyed. Every Friday we'd go around like one of the other family's houses and they'd all like socialize and then we'd all hang out as kids. And every fucking week, without fail, I would make everyone, not just me, it was a communal effort, we'd all do a play. And we'd come downstairs at like 9 p.m. And then we'd be like, and they're like, oh, shit. Like, we've done a play. And they were like, no, no, no. And then we'd all do a play about something.
We did a Little Britain play once.
Did you?
How old? It was when it was first out. It was the first series. Mm. And my brother had the DVD. And so basically what we did was, like, the day before, we just watched a load of Little Britain sketches and kind of just wrote them out and memorized them. And then we performed them in front of, my cousins came over. And so it was, like, my parents, their parents, I think my grandparents. So there may be, like, 7 or 8 adults. And they all thought it was really funny. Because back then, Little Britain was great.
It was. There was a time where Little Britain was the funniest thing on television.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, plays. God, my sisters used to do that whenever my cousins came over. They were always like, we've got to play.
Yeah.
And then everyone would have to sit down and watch this play.
Yeah, we'd make everyone sit down. And if they talked, we'd get really annoyed at them. There's one play we did that I remember. There was 6 kids and then our like 3 pairs of parents. And they'd sit there and they'd watch us do these plays. And there was one time, there's 3 girls and 3 boys. And we all came downstairs in one of the girls' swimming costumes. All of us, including the boys, were in this swimming costume.
Okay.
And we were like doing some thing or whatever. And there's a picture that my parents have of us all in our swimming costumes. And every like time we're all together or something, like someone just brings up the picture of like all of these lads in their swimming costumes.
The boys love it.
And a couple of like, one of the guys, he's like pretty chill with it. He went to Snow White for like most Halloweens as a kid.
Okay.
And then two of the other guys are like really laddie. And whenever we like, do you remember that time when you all were swimming costumes? They're like, shut up. No, I didn't. Shut up.
No, I didn't.
And they're like 20. They're like 20 now. It's quite funny to like look at them and be like, wow. Do you remember that? And they're like, no, shut up.
Didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
No way.
Something that I did grow out of and then grew back into again was certain kind of kids' TV. So I quite like watching weird like stop motion stuff by Cosgrove Hall. I've been watching Beast Wars this year and last year. I'm currently halfway through Reboot, which is now in a box, as is my region free DVD player, which is the only way I can watch Reboot because it was only released in America. So yeah, it's all just in a box at the moment, but I was halfway through watching Reboot, and then I want to like watch some more stuff after that as well. Just like early CG stuff, kind of really like it.
Batman the animated series. Grew up with that in the 90s, and I have the Blu-ray collection of that. Don't know if they did one for the Spider-Man, the 90s Spider-Man series.
They put the 90s X-Men series on Disney Plus.
Did they? Yeah, they did recently.
Yeah, that's all on there.
I think I caught occasional episodes of that, but it was all about Spider-Man for me. Spider-Man and Batman.
You're a Spider-Man
in the 90s. So yeah, I'd like to get those, but certainly animated series Batman. Still have that a lot. Well, that's all we've got time for this week. Thank you so much for supporting us, patrons. Don't forget to submit your questions for the next After Dark. Keep an eye out for the post asking for questions. Remember, this is a fortnightly show, so we will see you in a couple of weeks' time. You look after yourselves, and thank you again for all of your support.
Thanks.
Really appreciate it. We'll see you soon.
Bye, everybody.
Love you, bye.